Crickety crick, crickety cross.
Cricket.
I'm gonna get it right though. Nah, but you told me to do it, so I'm gonna do it.
They be like, slow up, homie. You're talking too fast. I got a couple of quips. I came to talk trash. Yeah, he's Bucky Watts and Bradley Bax. This is going down. We call it the G Splash. Hey.
What up, y'all?
Wow.
We back, baby.
Welcome to G Splash Podcast. I'm your host, Bradley Baxter. And as always, got my man, Bucky Watts, in the house.
Here I am.
This is episode 50.
Wow, I can't believe it. Made the big 5-0.
5-0.
It seems like it happened so fast, yet it took so long to get here.
Yeah.
Probably because we have that whole first season of lost episodes.
Yeah, so I meant to talk to you about that too, Chris. I think what I'm going to do is, I'm going to rewrite our timeline real quick. So, what we called the first season, we're actually going to change that to be called season 0.
Shit is straight.
We'll never see it. It'll never
feel like
day. I don't even know where they are. And, yeah, this is season 2, so welcome to season 2, episode 50.
I like it. They're like secret, like lost in the archive, or, you know, like one day when this is super big and famous, they'll be like, man, I wish we had those 0 season episodes, and they'll find them, and they'll be like, oh, worth a bunch of money. I mean, that's how I'm seeing it
play
out in my head.
Yeah, I mean, and it's going to be on a tape cassette somehow. Someone's going to find it somehow on a tape cassette.
Like, did we make, what year was this?
Yeah, exactly. Chris, we got a lot to talk about, so we'll keep it brief. How have you been, man?
Let's dive in.
We're back to the regular show, so...
Been good, man. Been good. You did a great job on the summer sessions, running those while I was work traveling more and all kinds of stuff. You crushed on those, so good job. Yeah. And I've been great, man. I'm excited for a big season 2. This is the one where we really take off. You know, we got the jitters out, and now we can really just run it.
A couple of quick announcements real quick coming up on this season.
Cool, can't wait.
We did summer sessions, like Chris just said, great segue, where we did six new...
Nailed it.
So where we did six new stories, and so we'll continue that trend on like we did on summer sessions, where we'll go through, me and Chris will talk those six. This year, we're going to try and get in some interviews, some special guests. Kind of want to make it more of just a conversation on the board, mm-hmm. more so than interviews. But we got some stuff moving right now. Don't announce anything yet, but it's definitely going to be coming up soon.
I'm already excited.
But I got some bad news, Chris.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Here we go.
We're going to retire Buzz of the Week. Had its run.
It fought hard. It put up it went out there, gave 110% every day for us last season, and when your number's called, your number's called.
Let's not waste any more time, and let's just dive right into it, baby. Seth Rogen and Evan, I forget his last name, come together to take on another series called The Boys. I believe they're writing and directing, producing. Probably different directors in there since it's a TV.
Doing the whole thing.
Doing a TV show. But this looked pretty interesting, and I jumped the gun on this.
Evan Goldberg.
I always forget his last name.
And it's also developed by Eric Kripke, who is one of the people that started Supernatural.
They did Preacher. Now this is the next one. I think they're by the same comic book, like, universe. I don't know if they're, like, connected, but worth a Google.
That's worth a Google. Getting one in early this year. Worth a Google.
Chris, you saw the trailer. This was actually a pretty buzzy thing at Comic-Con this past weekend, but...
Really? So we'll get in, obviously, later that you were at New York Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I didn't get to see this. But I didn't get to see the panel, so that's why I kind of put it in the news section, because it was a buzz thing going on there, but...
There was a lot of buzz, though,
yeah,
huh?
It was, like, one of the most talked about panels.
Really?
Yeah.
What was being talked about? Was it being talked about because it's, like, a... Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, this whole team, or was it just like people were actually excited for what they saw?
I think it was because of the success of Preacher and having Evan Goldberg and, like you said, Seth Rogen involved. And
people are just excited.
Yeah, and it's kind of got, you know, you saw the trailer. It's kind of got like the Watchmen hero to hire kind of vibe to it. I never really read that book, so, but it looks cool. Definitely worth a check out. I'm into it.
Yeah, this thing, it looks very interesting. I guess just to give everybody listening, if you haven't, go and watch the teaser trailer for it. It kind of is setting up this idea of like what we think of as the superhero world and then these kind of anti-hero group. But it says the premise is The Boys takes place in a world where superheroes embrace the darker side of their massive celebrity and fame, and revolves around a group of vigilantes known informally as the Boys, who set out to take down corrupt superheroes with no more than blue-collar grit and a willingness to fight dirty.
Boom.
Ooh, I'm in.
Sold. Speaking of keeping art intact, Banksy gets sold at an auction, but little beknownst to anybody, I don't know if I said that grammatically correct, but whatever.
Didn't care. Loved it.
Decided to throw a shredder in the mix. And so as soon as the piece sold for, I believe, $800,000 or more.
An exclusive British street artist, Girl with a Balloon is what it was called. It sold at Sotheby's London for $1.4 million before dropping through a shredder that was built into the frame.
So it was $1.4 million.
So it was already, it had sold for $1.4 before it got destroyed. Or, I mean, destroyed, not in the sense of like it's gone, because I know the whole idea behind this is like, art is art, and isn't that artistic of it, you know?
Who knows anymore? Art.
This guy is filthy rich, right? And does still nobody know who he is? Or she?
I don't know. I don't know anymore.
Somebody has to know. I mean, what? The payment's got to go somewhere.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think he's getting paid for his art, which is why it's being destroyed. That's why he destroyed it.
Interesting. And somebody else making money off his stuff?
Yeah, because, I mean, that's why, like, when he came to New York that one year and, like, ran through, I think it was October, where he was popping up, like, every day. People were, like, stealing the artwork, and, like, buildings were storefronts and things like that were trying to, like, preserve it and sell it. There's, like, an auction house or art gallery, I think, outside of New York that's, like, has, like, gigantic cement-blocked pieces that are, like, it's stupid. It's crazy.
Wow, this is... He definitely... I mean, it's one of those great... It's good to have a mystery, you know? It's so easy to find information nowadays. It's good to have like these things where nobody really knows who it is, or there's disputed identities, or maybe it's multiple people. Like, I like this. I like that we still have that. It's like finding buried treasure, right? Like, you think it's all old school, and then someone's like, I found a ship.
I mean, yeah, it's what's crazy is like someone on a caliber as big as Banksy is. There's no way he's doing this thing like all by himself to make sure, like,
sure, it's gotta be people.
I mean, he's gotta have a team somehow. What that?
I like to think he's a lot like if you ever saw, you know, Ocean's 12.
Yeah.
I like to think that he or she again is like the gray or the fox or gray fox, whatever. It's like just an absolute ridiculously wealthy person that throws on black hoodies and stuff and goes out and does this just because they can't. Like, the money's not an object. It's not the idea. They're just like want to do something outside. And then they like go to like, you know, high society cocktail parties and things like that. But then on the other side, they like spray painting, like, you know, people pissing on buildings and they look real or whatever.
Basically Batman, but in the art form. World's greatest artist.
If Batman was like, damn, martial arts is hard, I'm just going to spray paint.
Yeah, in his old age, whatever. If it was the idea was to shred it so it wasn't worth anything, that didn't work because it's worth more now.
Yeah, it's worth more now because you're gonna hang it. Or maybe that was the point all along, that like the art piece is intact, but you know, because his stuff's all about like disaster and things not being the way they actually are, like turning things on their heads. Like the whole idea is like a piece of art in a frame is so wonderful, but what happens when you shred it and it's worth more?
Right. Talk about a main event. This was crazy. I've never seen anything like this, Chris. But the fight after the fight.
The fight after the fight. We're talking about Conor McGregor and some, what is that guy, Russian or
the
something?
The Russian dude, yeah. Khabib?
Khabib? Something like that. That sounds right.
What a crazy... This was nuts.
Basically being able to see a riot break out on live TV.
I mean, yeah. Where chaos, just ultimate chaos. Like, it made
Really, everything just came down.
It made for great television, I'll say that. People sure, got their money's worth if they bought the fight... Or even more so if they pirated it.
They definitely, that's $60 paid for itself. I mean, on this grand of a scale, it's still an event that's so charged with like you know, it's just, it has that energy to it and that rowdiness, and there's that aggression in the air and everyone's all live wire. And then this incident happens. And it's like, I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often. It all it took was for, you know, one of the fighters to go blistering like a missile into a crowd. And then all of a sudden a riot broke out.
I mean, as soon as he won, he went ham and just like jumped, was gone. It was just like in the midst of it all, yeah. Taking on everybody.
You think he'd be exhausted. Like, I won, I can go home. And Stay's like, I got another cylinder. Here we go.
Yeah. So apparently,
Hit the spare. Yo,
jump in the ice bath, bro.
Yeah, it's like, take it easy.
So I guess, you know, there's fines and stuff like that. They're saying they're going to withhold the money to pay him. They're probably just paying. I mean, this has got to be a dream for UFC, right?
Just in the news, continuing to be relevant after the fight's even over.
Right, just all the drama, the chaos. Because we're focused just on that after the fight. So, like, yeah. The fight was all that hype build-up, right? And then
it's like a climax, like an orgasm. It happens, then you just kind of come down easy. But then, like, this one just keeps happening.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what's funny about this whole thing? This Khabib guy's last name is a nightmare. You ever seen it? Nurmagomedov. It's got 43 letters.
I just stay away from
no that. Vowels. And wow, that's got to be a pain to sign your signature.
I mean, at that point, you just
sign your signature.
Scribble. It's just a scribble.
Yeah, your hands are just these beaten husks that you sort of hold the pen with two hands and run it over.
Yeah. Well, speaking...
Oh, the fighter's life.
The fighter's life.
That's the fighter's life.
Shout out to all you fighters out there. I hope you're training hard and good luck on your next...
Train hard, be good.
Work hard, play hard. Work better, faster, stronger. Work it.
Man, I've been a fan, not stronger. I know what you're at.
Cool. Speaking of things that started off crazy and... I think is having a better turnout. We reported a while back. I think it was just on the summer sessions. Maybe I thought this was a cool idea at the time, but it got a lot of backlash. But Ruby Rose, now Batwoman in the Arrowverse. The poster finally came out with her in costume. Looks great to me. I actually just saw her recently in that. What movie was she just? She was in that. She's in the Meg.
Meg. Oh, the Meg. Yeah. Really? Did you like that movie?
No, it was terrible.
Was it fun? No.
Shit, yeah, straight garbage. You know what I'm talking about.
For anyone who doesn't know, the Arrowverse, that's like the shows on the CW, like Arrow Flash. And Flash. Yeah. It's basically a bunch of DC heroes, and they have their own shows, but they all always come together and work, and now they're going to be doing Batwoman as its own separate show, and she's going to be coming in and integrating on the next giant crossover episode. So Batwoman will be now part of the Arrowverse, and... Ruby Rose is going to be playing her. And yeah, the picture's good. I don't know. The hair looks a little fake, but what are you going to do?
Oh, it's definitely edited very well.
Maybe that's the point, though. Maybe the hair is part of the mask and she really has like short hair. That'd be a cool thing that Batman can't do.
Throws everybody off.
Wear a sweet wig to be like, oh, no, she clearly has giant red hair. And this one, instead, it's like Ruby Rose's like short cropped cut. I could get on board with that.
Yeah, I was really kind of dumbfounded when people were saying that fans were mad that she was playing the role.
Really? Why?
I have no idea. I was like, this is ridiculous.
Better.
Speaking of falling apart, James Gunn, I don't know if it's 100% official, but he's in talks to write, possibly direct Suicide Squad 2. Mm-hmm. He obviously had that big firing.
Fallout with Disney fired from doing Guardians 3 for old tweets he had, and there was petitions and people were wanting him to come back, including the whole cast. And now the reports are all pretty much in that he's going to be writing Suicide Squad 2.
Yeah, and there's characters he's mentioning, which we won't dive too deep into that. But to follow on that note, a very big supporter of James Gunn during that firing period was Dave Bautista.
Yes.
Now he's like, I want to be in the next Suicide Squad movie.
Okay.
I saw a fan, I saw a piece put together. I don't know. I didn't read the article, but it showed Dave Bautista next to a version of Bane.
Really? Who else would he be? I mean, if he came over.
Well, they just did Lobo, right? So they can't.
That's true.
I think Lobo has his own movie or something. Maybe.
I'm definitely intrigued by all this. I mean, I think it's pretty, not ballsy in a sense, but I think it's a smart move by DC to be like, hey, our franchises are struggling. We made Suicide Squad 1 to try and be like Guardians of the Galaxy, but we really fucked it. And now we're going to get the guy that did that because hopefully he can help write this ship, because we're about 1 for 6 on DC movies and we really need to get it right on this next couple.
My question to you with that being said is, now that we're coming down to the end of the MCU or the phase one characters and things like that, are they going to jump ship? Can they jump ship? Is it, if they want to continue? I mean, these movies make major dough. Doesn't matter where you are, where you land. Like I think Chris Evans came out and was like, I just don't want to be known as a superhero for all my career, right?
Forever. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to get stuck doing this the next 30 years and then that's all I did. I think that, just down to brass tacks, there has to be some kind of contract thing about, there's got to be some kind of no compete in there in the sense of rival comic agencies or franchise agencies or.
But if your character is killed off.
You can do a WB movie and you could do a Disney movie at the same time. That's not a problem. But has anybody ever done a DC and a Marvel movie in the same time frame? I mean, I think it just comes down to Disney. Like, if Batista's like, yeah, I'm going to go do Suicide Squad 2, I'll stay and do Guardians 3. Do you let him do that or do you fire him and try and replace him or try and write him out or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that's where we are.
If I'm Disney, I don't. I say, you're in it. There's too much money and stuff. You're too well liked. You stay and do this 3 and then you can just be, we'll just be done. We'll part ways.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't seem like the relationship with the Guardians actors and stuff is very, and Disney is very well thought out.
If you're going to do it, I mean, in fairness, then at the same time though, maybe they have a strange, no, they don't. I was gonna say they have a strange opportunity with Avengers 4 to maybe write him out there and continue with a new Guardians of the Galaxy team that's like hodgepodge from other people, but they'd probably just do some kind of send off in 3.
While we're on that topic, this wasn't in our news. You know what? I'm gonna scrap the last story and I'm just gonna go into this. And this is our latest news.
Audible. I like it. We change things up around here. If you're listening, you need to know right now. We change shit on the fly.
Damn right.
We don't fuck around.
We don't play that shit.
Shit is straight garbage. You know what I'm talking about.
Already kind of come out. We've got fucking. So I'll just tell the news story so it's relevant to what we're talking about. Mark Ruffalo's already blowing shit early. Like, we still have. The movie doesn't come out till May.
Right.
Ugh,
that's so long.
Blowing the whistle on, like, the title. Like, who gives a fuck what the title's called?
Yeah, I gotta agree with you there, man. That's like every news story about that movie is what the title is, and I know that that's something that's very that they're pushing that agenda. Like the Russo brother guy posting a thing, being like, the answer to the title is in this photo. Can you discover it? And like they do these things like Ruffalo. I don't have a lingering suspicion. No, I wouldn't even say that. I'm sure that Ruffalo was sent out there to do these things.
Right.
Like they want that media. They want that press. They want people talking about it and wondering, because when it really comes down to it, over the years, this has been like a thing with the Avengers movies and it doesn't really fucking matter. Like whatever it's called, cool. That's what it's called. Like what other time have you ever been like, I wonder what the next Smurfs movie is going to be called. Like they're creating this, which in fairness, because I work in marketing advertising, I don't necessarily work in like publicity and stuff, but like that's, they're generating that. They're spending a lot of money to generate that. And it's working because it's everywhere. It's all everyone talks about. And when it comes to event, oh, what's it going to be called? Oh, I'm still thinking about what the title's going to be. Are you going to be better when it does come out? Like what you're interested in, we like to speculate, but I just think they're fueling all of this.
I think it started off as like, hey, like a serious thing. And like people, it was a gossip thing. So now,
yeah,
I think now it's starting to totally kind of come out like, all right, guys, at least for me.
This is a great way to market. Least, yeah. The fact that this is what sold it for me, too. The fact that was it on Conan? I think whatever.
Jimmy Fallon.
He was on Fallon. He says it. The news breaks. When the episode goes, they bleep him out, right? So they bleep out the title. People reverse engineer it to remove the bleep. And what he says isn't even actually the title of the
right
movie. So it was a ton of fanfare.
Well, I think he...
For nothing.
I think he had mentioned another title before that too.
Yeah, and it's like it's a weird setup, because if he had just said it and been like throwing out different like little cups of things, like if it's a lie in the title, then what's the point? I just think it's a whole weird thing that they're doing, and it makes me feel like it's not organic. It's completely planned. They're like, hey, Ruffalo and Tom Holland have both been known to kind of let shit slip, so let's make them poster boys.
How do we capitalize on them spoiling everything? But at the same time, like, again, a title to a movie, no matter what it's called, even if it's a storyline ripped from the books, like, we just saw Infinity War. It was nothing like... It had its moments. It took some influence and things of that nature, but it wasn't the same story in the books. They're at a point now where, like, they're writing their own material, like Walking Dead. Walking Dead is very different from the comics. Like, you come
absolutely
once you hit a point in, like, you outgrow your reference material. Like, it just happens, and you can't. You're going to take storylines. Of course you have to change it up, because if you don't want to tell the story that people already know, you got to throw twists and da-da-da-da-da.
And some things are undoable. They're too grand in scale. That's sometimes I feel like the problem with DC movies, especially like Batman vs. Superman or whatever. Like, they are making their own stuff, but they're also taking on like way more than they can chew, and it's falling flat. And going back to like this whole title thing, because I'm going to fall right into their trap now, but it broke today or yesterday or whatever that the title for it is, The front runner now is Avengers Annihilation.
Right.
Okay. Which this, I bring this up because it speaks directly to what you're saying, where Annihilation is like a super famous award-winning Marvel comic arc that happened where there was, it had space wars, and there was different, these kind of different obscure heroes like Guardians, and Silver Surfer was a highlighted one, and Ronan the Accuser had his own line, and it was really cool. It brought a Super Scroll had his own thing. Like, there was a lot of really cool pieces that came together. And the thing that I, when I see that title and things I've been reading about, like, there are elements that end up working in favor of that comic line. You have Thanos is, and there's, you know, theories that Thanos will have to help them in some way to recorrect what he did, because by changing things, he created like a cosmic force that's going to destroy the universe, and a cosmic force is going to destroy it in that comic line. There's a lot of things that are going to cross over. But at the end of the day, you could never successfully make Annihilation, the comic line or the comic series, into a movie.
It's too long.
Because it's too long, it's too obscure, and it's too big. Instead, they can say, hey, this is called Annihilation, and it shares these similar principles. So we can do it. Like, Century was big in that one, and Nova was big in that one. And now we have, you know, Captain Marvel in place of them. And you can do this thing where you roll in Thanos having to correct what he did wrong. And, like, they're just doing their best to put things together. And that's where you start writing your own material. You're taking little pieces, but you're really making it your own.
Right. And I think, you know, I'm done venting on that whole thing.
I'm excited. Before, don't get me wrong, I'm excited.
I'm just like, I don't want to go through another year of hearing like all this shit about who blew what and blah blah blah. Pause.
Yeah, it's like just what do we got? Did you say, does it go in May or March? May. January, February. Because
we're gonna get Captain Marvel first.
So November just says we have 7 more months. Ugh.
Of just like, oh, this person said this today. Like, fuck. Like.
Yeah, can you believe he said it's going to be a good movie? Like,
another thing that really grinds my gears is the trailer before the trailer, but I'm just leaving it at that. I hate that. Yeah. That's annoying. That's stupid. You don't tell me the movie trailer I'm about to watch with a 2-second trailer telling me what the name of the movie is. I already know that.
Before I even watch it. Yeah, I know what it is.
I watched the Pet Sematary fucking trailer, and it was like, Pet Sematary. And then it does it again and plays the trick.
You're like,
fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
Get out of here.
Anyway, Chris, let's get into our main topic. We're talking New York Comic Con 2018. They switched up some things this year. All in all, it was a dope experience.
So you had a great time. So it went from this last October 7th or whatever, or 4th, or I don't know the dates, but it went Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you were there all 4 days?
I was there Friday through Sunday.
Ugh, look at you.
I did it.
Look at you.
I tried to do my best with the social media stuff, but it was just, there's a lot of people, you know that. But Javits got to do better, the Javits Center where it's held. They just have to do a better job of making sure things are moving. I mean, I think that the Comic-Con has outgrown the facility. There's not really anywhere else to put it. So I literally watched a girl cry because she had to go to the bathroom so bad. A little kid, like, I'm talking like no more than 7.
Right.
Like, squeezing her whole body together, crying. And the line, like, she was nowhere near the front of the line. Nowhere near.
To the bathroom?
To the bathroom. And escalators were down, so that was clogging up things. That's my only tip.
So you're basically just saying that it's grown to a point where there's too many people packed into a space that really can't support that many people.
Yeah, and I don't think there's enough personnel on hand to
help out and sufficiently like keep people safe and moving and everything flowing.
I mean, the escalator thing, it's like, I don't know how that happens. It could be people.
It's like, fix the escalator. What is this?
I mean, people could be fucking around and doing it on purpose. I'm sure that some of that happens. I saw a video of how to do it randomly. I'll say this, and this is another conversation. As I've been to Comic-Con the last 3 years, I still feel like there's something about the culture that's missing in this thing, and I haven't really figured out how to fix it or how to approach it, but it's almost like the cons themselves have outgrown themselves. Like, it's too much. So that's another topic. But I saw some dope panels, a lot of stuff to talk about, and I'll try and keep it brief and some of the highlights. And Chris, if you have any questions from stuff I've told you before, chime in at any time.
Talked on the phone at length, so that was a lot of fun for me to get to hear, because I really wanted to be there.
I was trying to make an excuse to look like I knew what I was doing instead of trying to sneak in somewhere. Do you have anything you want to start right away with, Chris, that off top?
God, no, man. You're the one that went. I just want to get like overall impressions, things you did. You just jump off and I'll follow.
One of the dopest things that I saw, Enter the Spider-Verse. That panel.
Oh, okay. So you got to go to some panels. I'm excited to hear about these. Yes. Enter the Spider-Verse. Tell me.
My thing for Comic-Con, if you already know, is like, I love the panels. That's mainly why I go. And other stuff comes in if I like it, if I want to explore it. But yeah, man, Enter the Spider-Verse was cool. They had the cast there, and they showed 35 minutes of the movie. I'm technically not supposed to talk in depth of that 35 minutes. All I can say, It wasn't a complete official 35 minutes of the film, but it was like different 3D renderings.
Wow, 35 minutes. That's killer, man. That's a chunk.
They basically brought us all the way up until like basically setting up the movie and now what happens. And then they cut it from there. The animation is crazy good. The cast was really good. And man, I got to say, it's really exciting to see Miles Morales on the screen. Like,
crushing.
The actor who plays him was also in that Netflix show, The Get Down. Not really sold on what's his name from New Girl.
Oh, not the guy that played Nick in the show?
Yeah.
Why did his name just leave me? Oh, really? You weren't set on him as Peter Parker, huh?
I mean,
because he's like an older Peter Parker, right?
I think all in all, like, there's no complaint. I have no complaints. I think this is one of the best comic book movies I've ever seen so far.
Really?
I'm giving that the splash right now.
Oh, snap. You're ahead of it by months.
I'm excited. Well, only a couple. I'm saying this movie looks great. Definitely highlight of Comic-Con being at this panel. So that's that.
So who was all there as far as the panel? Was it all the people? Was the whole cast there?
Not the whole cast, but
was it a packed panel? Because I mean,
it was so.
I know things there get crazy.
It was busier than normal. It was one of the earlier panels, and then it was at Madison Square Garden. And then following that panel, which I'll just make it this segue, the Daredevil season 3 panel, which had the cast there as well. The trailer's kind of been out and the new villain's there, but I've posted some of this on our Instagram. We know that Wilson Fisk is back. He's in the white suit.
Yep.
It looked dope. Yep. But I think the big announcement at Comic-Con was we have a new villain.
Bullseye. Yeah.
And I saw the fight scene between Daredevil and Bullseye, and it looked pretty dope. And they definitely set it up this way where they were like, they talked about how they were the ones who kind of bring in that whole choreographed fight, one shot where they're like flying in the hallway and like popping out of the doors and stuff like that, which was amazing. Shout out.
Super good.
So that's, I think the same people that did that kind of thing they were the ones who choreographed this fight. And dude,
oh yeah, great. That's, yeah,
dude,
it was good.
It was so dope. It was crazy dope. Have you seen the trailer?
Oh yeah, I love it. They're throwing all kinds of stuff at it. For anybody who doesn't know, Bullseye. I mean, this is a tough one because in the Daredevil universe, Daredevil's main nemesis, I think, is definitely Kingpin. But
He started off in Spider-Man,
Kingpin,
though.
Kingpin, he obviously fights Spider-Man. So Kingpin is also more like he runs a lot of bad guys underneath him, where in some other universes you don't really get that. Like, so I would equate...
Yeah, I'd agree.
I would equate the fight scenes between more like a Batman Joker type scenario, and the Joker in this case is Bullseye. He has a superpower, which is like perfect accuracy and aim. Like, right. He never misses. If there's something he wants to throw out, you might have seen him in Daredevil, the Ben Affleck version with Colin Farrell, but he's actually a really menacing, really evil hitman who does like some really dark shit, and very Joker-esque. And this fight scene and this trailer has some stuff that's like, damn, this is going to be good, because this is what you wait on. The first season was really good, and he was finding his feet, and Kingpin's there. And then last season was kind of like, all right, we're dealing with the hand. Like, we got into the ninja stuff, and now we're going right back to, like, a full-on, like, bad, mean villain.
Yeah, I'm really curious how they're going to explain how he didn't die when the entire building crashed on him.
Yeah, that'll be interesting, because that's kind of how Defenders ended. It was like, okay, bye, and then they're like, Daredevil season 3.
Yeah, I'm gonna kind of interject here, and I'll keep this if it sticks. But in the trailer, did they show the Daredevil costume and Bullseye wearing the Daredevil costume?
Yeah, so the thing, they're like fighting through it, and the trailer actually was more about. There was the original teaser, which was like Matt Murdock standing, and he's like the light swinging by him, and he's got blood all over his face. Right. It's like him coming back and being more like, you know what, I've been a hero, but I've been soft on these bitches. I'm gonna take them out. And then this next one, it was mostly a Bullseye trail. It's like kind of showing like the backstory of this guy who's basically was like in the military or something, and then got into some kind of hit work. And then by the end of it, you know, you see him fighting Daredevil. And there's been glimpses in the other trailer, especially where Daredevil was back in like his black with the head wrap. And I was like, that's weird. You got the suit. Why not wear it? But what we can assume now, because in this one at the very end, you see Daredevil, but he's like, yeah, I'm Daredevil. But it's clearly Bullseye wearing it. Cool. So I'm assuming that he's going to figure out, steal the suit. And then there's the fight scene where you get to see glimpses of Matt Murdock not wearing the suit, fighting Bullseye wearing the suit. So that's going to be a real thing. Very, very anti-event, or what was it called? Dark Avengers style stuff.
Yeah. So from what I saw at Comic-Con, and it sounds like you kind of just, I'm just repeating what you said, but. Yeah. From what I saw personally, I saw he was a detective or FBI agent. He was a cop or whatever first.
Yeah, something like that.
And so he goes on this spree, and he's had a track record of like shooting, killing people.
Right.
So he says in the line, he's like, if I was a vigilante, no one would care. But because I'm a cop, y'all give a fuck, blah, blah, blah. And then... because
I'm a cop, you all are putting me on trial, but if I was vigilante, it wouldn't be a problem.
Right, so then he goes... somehow he gets the Daredevil suit, rocks that, and starts misrepresenting Daredevil, blah, 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 and he's, like, killing people. So that's pretty much the premise, and we'll have to see how it plays out. But, Chris, what are your thoughts on the Avengers Tower kind of in the background? It's, like, the first connection we've ever seen. Besides
reference. There's been a lot of indirect stuff, and this is the first time you're actually seeing something that we can point of reference, not just like a newspaper article or somebody saying something in passing. Like, this is full on, and I think it's interesting. I think it's super interesting, mostly because they've come out and said these things don't connect. Like, you'll never see these things connected. They don't connect at all. And then it's like, but they still exist in the same world. But they'll never connect.
Yeah, and the panels, I'll say this, everyone asks that question. And they're always very
like, are you guys going to be in Avengers 4? And they're like, no, we can't, because
no, they don't even say, they don't say that. There's like, anything can happen, but yeah, they have to say that. I mean,
you never know. Keep watching the show, or we get fired.
Yeah. That question also came up in the Runaways panel. Now,
interesting.
Have you seen this? The first season?
No, I actually have. Oh wait, which one is Runaways?
It's on Hulu.
Oh, I don't know. Runaways. I've watched the first couple episodes of Runaways, for sure.
So Runaways is kind of its own thing, I feel like. They're not really, they're supposed to be connected, of course. Same with Cloak and Dagger. I love the Runaways panel because these kids have so much charisma and they're like really into the role and really own it. They've done a good job over there. Anyway, so on this panel, they did it again where they played the full episode. And man, it's always so dope when they do that. Like, when you get some of these exclusive clips, it's just like a cool feeling. Like, when I was at the Spider-Verse panel, I looked at the time, and it had the time frame. I think it was like 2 hours. So I was like, oh, shit, we might watch this whole movie.
Yeah, but, like, that's a big gap.
So you can kind of try and, you can try your best to gauge, but they obviously show clips, things like that. But Runaways was a definite highlight. I'm looking forward to season two. Definitely a great show. And those kids are great actors and actresses, so got to give them a quick round of applause because they're doing great.
You're great. I'm great. Everybody's great.
Everyone's winning.
So I have to ask you. You went to some great panels. I mean, you went to like a Power Rangers one. You went to the what was it called? Like Big Mouth. You saw a lot of really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Awesome. What was your favorite thing?
Enter the Spider-Verse for sure was my favorite thing.
Hands down. Anything else? Really stood out.
So
what Power Rangers wise? Anything Power Rangers-y? I know you love that.
I probably won't get into what you're trying to hint at, but I will say this. I love the comic book, and obviously I was a fan of the show as a kid. I also went to the Power Rangers panel, where the comic book panel with Boom. I also went to the Jason David Frank It's Morphin Time panel.
Ooh.
Real quick, I'll touch on this real quick. I kind of don't like the direction that the comic book is going in, but it's in the evolution of the show, essentially, so I kind of expected it to. I was really enjoying the new take on the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and they're going to, instead of like all the others, like Zeo and Turbo and Dino and all that other shit that I don't care mm-hmm. about. But there are fans for that, so I guess, you know, they can't stand.
Yeah, people. I mean, there are people that are into
anyway,
it.
Anyway, so they're going to keep one comic, I think, going with the Mighty Morphin, but they're calling it Go-Go, which is Go-Go Power Rangers, which has been a series. It's like 15 deep, I think, now. They're changing the writers. Kyle Higgins is no longer doing it. So I'm a little torn, and
you think it might be going away from what's made it so good the last couple of years?
I can't say that because I wasn't sure what to expect when I first picked it up a year ago. So the fact that I'm skeptical now is like how I was a year ago. So I could be blown away. So basically,
you never know.
This was already in the last issue, but they're putting together after the shattering of the grid, they're putting together hodgepodge team from different places, and they're created another new ranger, and we'll see how it plays out.
Cool. Are we out of colors? You're a maroon ranger now.
So they did. I forget the ranger's name, but it's like a space. It's got a nebula type of suit, which is it looked dope. It's the Pink Ranger. The other thing okay. is, and this is a spoiler, so if you're reading the book. Sorry, but it's also it's probably gonna make you more interested. But the Rangers have different colors, so it we'll see how it plays out. I'm indifferent because I don't like the move because I wanted to stick with Mighty Morphin.
Yeah, you like what they got going on.
So that was a good panel. There's another book coming out called Soul of the Dragon, which is all about. It's basically Old Man Tommy. It's about the Green White Ranger. He's played every color ranger pretty much. So him in his old age and blah blah blah.
Huh. All the old man stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's inevitable. He's a huge fan of Wolverine, which he mentioned multiple times on his panel, and he really liked the Logan stuff. So, and we talked, and I'll get in. All right, I don't even know how to start this one. I went to the Jason David Frank panel, obviously. He's the most popular ranger that everybody knows.
Yes, absolutely. He's got a big following. He's crossed lots of platforms.
One of
totally.
The only actors I've seen love that role so much so that it's like it's definitely a part of his life. And the way he talks about it, I think he's very attached to it, which is good for him. He's seems very genuine. And I told you, Chris, I thought it was someone who's just playing into the hype and like, I don't know, but he's the only one that's actually putting money back into himself as far as the brand and keeping that going because and he'll stay right. long hours after sign autographs, answered every question until they literally kicked him off the stage. So he does it every time. He'll stay again. Like I said, he'll stay late signing every autograph. So at first I thought it was all bullshit. And I kind of, after that panel and kind of talking to him myself, he's kind of changed my mind a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is
that's
cool.
That's awesome, man.
Anyway, so I got a chance to meet him. He was really nice. He signed my helmet, which is dope.
Yeah, your full-size helmet.
That Chris got me. Thank you so much for that. That's one of the coolest things I've ever gotten. I think my mom was really excited for that picture that I sent her too. More so than, I mean, I was very grateful, blah, 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 whatever. But I think my mom was really happy for me at that moment, because maybe she like had some reminiscence of me as a kid and getting me all those Power Ranger toys and whatnot. He's putting money into his own to keep some of the Power Ranger stuff kind of going, and he's getting it all cleared, and he's worked with Kyle Higgins, who's writing his story or wrote his story. So I don't know of any other person kind of doing that. Maybe Lou Ferrigno.
Right. I mean, maybe keeping the Hulk going. I totally get what you're saying though, man. Like we had talked already on the phone, but or like on Saturday or whatever, but I think it's true. I mean, yes, there's obviously something he's getting out of it. He's obviously still going to be in the spotlight in some ways, and he's still going to be able to make some money and all this stuff. But at the same time, he could be trying to push it or just like riding the coattails of something that's already existing and trying to be like, hey, remember me, I'm relevant. Instead, he's like investing his money back into a character, like you said, like back into the franchise. So he's pushing things forward, yes, to promote himself and his brand and keep him making money and being relevant. But that also shows some commitment and passion, the fact that he's willing to sit there and answer every question and show up to all these Comic-Cons to sign and want to talk about it and never be like weird or like upset or just kind of be like, yeah, who's next? Like he wants to be engaged about it, and that shows that it means something to him and he understands that. That's the dream, right? Like you want to do something that you enjoy doing so much that you just want to keep pushing it forward and you want it to stay relevant. You want people to talk about it and want to see it more and more. That's cool.
Yeah, I guess a perfect example of that would be something like how a lot of these actors who played old roles kind of get in the circuit to promote whatever they're doing now, which may or may not be dope. Like, crazy. I don't know another character on that show that has the numbers that he can do. And it's a unique story. Right. Let's just say that. It's a unique story. It's not very common.
You don't see that kind of thing for how long. I mean, how long ago was Power Rangers?
25 years ago. It's 25th anniversary.
I mean, and he's still repping and pushing, and I think it's freaking awesome, man. I think it's great.
He's still in contact with Saban, and he's involved in the comics. I didn't know this, but he funded the whole trailer and got that whole thing set up.
There you go. You can tell that he freaking loves it. And we're going to get him on the show because we want to talk to him and be cool and not weird geeks. And he's like a cool dude, and he's going to do it because he's a cool dude. And if he's listening right now, I think you're a cool dude. And you should come on the show at some point.
Love to have JDF on the show. Hopefully we can make that happen. I'm trying to think if there's something else. I kind of went off on a little nerd boy tangent, fanboy tangent.
Loved it. Loved it.
But yeah, there's a lot of stuff moving. There's something on this list that I didn't talked about. Big Mouth talked about.
Hit it all.
DC. The DC panel was kind of like a glazed over and was whatever. Anyway, Comic-Con was dope this year. It's always fun to go to, check out panels, things like that. Chris and I are always going to encourage you to go check it out. Meet your favorite characters.
Always. Support local artists and support Comic-Con and the whole industry as a whole. It's so much fun. I wish I could have been out there in the New York one. Next year, I am not going to miss it. Faux show.
Maybe we can get a booth.
Maybe we can get a booth. You never know.
Maybe we should just start a Kickstarter campaign now for us to have a podcast booth where we have people come through our panel.
Let's do it right now. People can come and say hi and hang out with us.
Maybe
we'll give away free pizza again. Oh, yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, now... I did that. I forgot I did that this summer.
I forget.
All right, Chris, I'm going to get you out of here because you have a movie to get to. And
I'm going to go see Venom. And then we're going to talk Venom. About on Splash Trash. Venom.
Eddie.
Before we sign off, though, be sure we are going to be blown up this season big. We have all new stuff, all new slates and guests we're trying to set up, all kinds of cool things. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, G to the Splash. Put out super cool content. We're going to be having some cool giveaways this year for sure. Live events. It's going to be big. Heck yeah, we are. I'm already making it happen. So be sure to follow us there, and wherever you listen to this podcast, follow us on here because we're going to get a new episode every week.
Every Thursday we drop. I know it's Wednesday, but every Thursday we're dropping. Like Chris just summed it up. I'm going to leave it at that. And hey, guys, we'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.